All right, would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 28? Genesis chapter 28. This morning's title is I Will Let You Be My God If You Do This. Have you ever said that? Thought about it, right? Someone says, God, if you let me get out of this jam, I will start to go to church. How about this? God, if you let me win this lottery, I will give it 20%. I'll even give it 30%. How about this one? Lord, if you allow me to marry that woman, that beautiful woman, I will be your servant forever. This is a good one. This is a really good one. Oh, God, don't let the cops find my pot in the trunk. I'll do anything. Do you know that's a real statement? This guy was a cop in the back of the squad car, and he's saying it out loud, but he did not know that there was a dash cam. It was a recording what's happening outside, it's happening what's inside. He just confessed that he has a pot in the trunk. Many people, including ourselves, have tried to make a deal with God while they were in the hot water. Maybe you are making that one right now because you are in a bad situation. Just do this for me, God. I'll do anything for you. Problem is that, we'll talk more about it. And maybe if you are the one who is trying to make a deal, you came here. Maybe you think that coming to church would make a brownie point to God. Brownie point. God just marked it on his chalkboard. I don't think that God has a chalkboard. I don't think he's counting any brownie point. You might attend the church until you get what you want, and then after the Lord grants your wish, and you're saying, going to church? What do you mean? Sunday? Do you know how many football games we have? How many golf games we have? I have a better thing to do than going to church. Coming to church doesn't mean anything, folks, to God. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if he's not your Savior and Lord, you're coming to church. That's it. If you are in the process of trying to make a deal with God or thinking about it, this message is for you. Don't use your elbow to tell somebody, this is for you. No, it might be for you as well. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we are so grateful for all the love and mercy and grace you poured upon us. We thank you for that you allowing our people to put that building together for our youth and the workshop. And nobody got hurt. And we will use that place for your glory. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your presence, to seek your face, to seek you through your word, that we may know your heart, that we may know your truth, and we may glean your wisdom. Father, anoint our heart, that the Holy Spirit may speak to us through your word, and anoint the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word, not his own opinion. Father, we pray for the President Trump, and all the politicians, those who make the decisions, and the judges, often they think that they are the one who has the power. They could not have a power unless they're given to them by the Lord. Let them do what is right in your sight. Father, we pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way. Father, we pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters who are constantly facing the danger. Father, we are asking you to watch over them as they watch over us. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 28, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to the Paran Aram, to the house of Bethuel, and your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of the Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, multiply you. that you may be an assembly of people, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendant with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are stranger, which God gave to the Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to the Padan Aram, and to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, and the mother of Jacob and Esau. Stop there, please. When we read this portion, especially verse 3, and Isaac telling Jacob to go to the Padan Aram and marry to her brother's daughter, and you're thinking, isn't that an incest? It is. Does it mean that God is winking at incest? No. During that time, the population was not high. He allowed it. Since when the incest is wrong? Since God gave them a law. When he said no more incest, that was the law given to them. There's no reason for it because there were enough people on earth. One more thing. If you give the nationality of the family, of this family, Isaac and Abraham, would you have said that they were Jews? How many of you guys think that they were Abraham and Isaac are the Jews? Raise your hand. Be honest. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you guys think that they are not Jews? What about the rest of you? No vote? You're thinking, I'm not going to raise my hand because you asked the question. They were not Jews yet. They were Syrians, as you will see in verse 5. Since when they become a Jew? When Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Remember in a couple of chapters later, and he will fight with the Son of God, Jesus, in wrestle. It was an MMA match. And God knocked his hip socket, and he got injured. He became a cripple. And he would change the name from the Jacob to Israel. From then on. So 12 sons of Jacob are Israelite. Just being technical things. Perhaps now Isaac resigned himself to what his wife Rebekah told him was the Lord's will all along. Older will serve the younger. That Jacob, not Esau, would receive the birthright. So he sent Jacob on with the blessing and instruction. It was essential that Jacob would not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan as his brother did. Jacob is the one who inherited the birthright and carry on the seed of the Messiah. It's a very important thing. Speaking of stay in the family line, Corinthians, they all start with a C anyway. 2 Corinthians says, do not be unequally yoked together. That means if you are thinking about marrying somebody, if you want to go out with someone, you need to go out with, if you are born again Christian, you need to stay within the marriage. You with me? If you're thinking, well, I will bring that person to Christ, missionary date never works. Okay? You can be a strong Christian, but if you go out with you cannot be a strong Christian if you go out with somebody who is not a Christian and you are dating or trying to marry, you will have a hard time. I guarantee you that. The Word of God guarantees you that. And you may say, what about if I'm married to the unbeliever? He's a heathen or she is heathen. Stay in the marriage. With a good example of yours, you might bring that person to Christ. There's a possibility. And you should not. God hates divorce. Tragically, this was the last time Jacob saw his mother because he was spent the next 20 years at the home of a master deceiver, his uncle Laban. And his mother Rebekah died during that time. Though Jacob was raised with the covenant of God through his father Isaac, he personally have not experienced relationship with God. Every man and woman come to the point where he or she has to decide whether they are going to choose to follow God or not. For Esau's case, he made it very clear from the beginning. He had nothing to do with God. And you may know the few people around you, either at work or at home, who don't give a rip about God. Or you might be the one you are dragged here because of your spouse. You might don't care anything about God. Today you are going to face a decision. Each time you come here, you hear the gospel message clearly. I may not be the best preacher in the world, but I give you the gospel message. You cannot deny that. You have to make a decision. Each time you walk out the door without that decision, your heart becomes hardened, calloused. Next time it will be easier for you to ignore God. You can become a Christian right here, right today. Or you can continue in the path of no hope all the way to hell. Somehow we think that when Jacob was leaving his parents, he was might be probably 20 years old. No, he was 77 years old. Did you know that? Yeah, do the calculation. So if you are 60-some years old, 50 years old, you are still single, don't worry, your days will come. Verse 6, chapter 28, please. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him charge, saying, "You shall not take wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to the Paddan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughters of Ishmael, and Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebazoth, you try to pronounce it, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. All of a sudden, Esau wants to be spiritual. And he's thinking that if I do what my daddy wants, maybe there will be some blessing left over. He will give to me as well. He had no intention of following God. The only thing he is looking for is a blessing. Folks, listen up. You cannot have a blessing without including blessing giver. You cannot have a gift without gift giver. You with me? You have to appreciate gift giver first to get the gift. Besides, gift is, if he is obligated to you, it's a duty. It's not a gift. Gift have to come from the God's heart to you. You cannot demand. Verse 10, please. Now the Jacob went out from the Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. He lay down at that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, the ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there were angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Stop there, please. He traveled about 40 miles from Beersheba to Bethel. The fear, loneliness, away from his mom and dad for the first time, and isolation, excitement, and anticipation all rolled up together. And this is an absolutely important time for Jacob's spiritual life. It was an isolated place. He had a significant and strange dream. You know, anyone who used a stone as a pillow bound to have a strange dream. I don't think it was my pillow. In this desolate wilderness, Jacob had a significant dream. Important dream. Jesus made this portion in Exodus 28 near in John chapter 1 verse 51. And he is the access to heaven. And he is the means by which heaven comes down to us, by which we can go to heaven. He is the ladder. Go to John chapter 1, please. Keep your finger in Genesis 28. John chapter 1, verse 51. That would be fourth book from the New Testament. 51 says, he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon who? The Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Jesus. He is the ladder. Jacob is a perfect picture of the lost soul. In the darkness, fleeing for his life, and burdened with the sin, and ignorant of the fact that God is near him, wants to save him, yet this ladder pictures Christ as the only way from the earth to heaven. You guys know this scripture very well. John 14:6 said, I am what? Does it say, I am a way? The only, exclusive way. No other way. If there was a plan B, Jesus would not die. He's the only way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me. You might be one of those people who are pretty much wit's end. You have no place to turn. But you're chugging along thinking that somehow you'll make it, or you just thinking that you don't care. God cares. God cares for you, and He wants you to have a hope in Him. Stop fighting. Stop resisting Him. Turn to Him. He will embrace you. He will give you hope. He will give you the reason to live. God opens the heaven for us and brings heaven's blessing into our lives. And He alone can take us into heaven. Jacob thought that he was in lonely wilderness, and awakened and discovered that he was at the heaven's gate. God was meeting Jacob when he felt lonely. He was telling Jacob to have a heavenly perspective. Jacob tried to steal the blessing from his brother Esau with everything he had. He didn't know that the real blessing was waiting for him, God Himself. Just side note, folks, no angel worship, especially ladies. Ladies has this wee-wee feeling about angels. Be careful. You are not supposed to worship angels. It's completely unbiblical to worship angels. They are mere messengers. The angel means messenger. Mere messengers, not God. There is only one who is worthy of our praise and worship. That's not angel. That's not saint. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? Many New Age people are into this angel worship. If you drive up to the Sedona, Arizona, it's a beautiful country, Red Rock country. They're full of La La Land people. Maybe they are La La Land people because they've been smoking too many dopes. And Tucson is another mecca of the New Age people. And Santa Fe, New Mexico, you can feel the demonic oppression in that area. Don't. Stay far away from the angel worship. Angels there to glorify God, to help people. Stop there. Verse 13, 28. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendant. Also, your descendant shall be the dust as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Stop there again, please. Essentially, God repeated Jacob the terms of the covenant He gave to Abraham and Isaac. And Jacob no doubt heard this great God's covenant. But it's one thing for him to hear that his grandfather and father's story. But it's another thing for him to have his own story. Folks, I said this before and I'll say again. You cannot ride in somebody's spiritual coattail. You hear me? Don't think that you're going to go to heaven because you are son of deacon or you're daughter of some devout Christians. You have to make your own decision to receive Jesus into your heart. Otherwise, you don't go. We too have the same assurance from God for us as Jacob had. God won't let us go until his work is complete in us. Philippians 1:6. Would you go there, please? Book of Philippians in the New Testament, right after Ephesians, right before Colossians. This is the reason why we cite we book names, right? Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 16 of chapter 28. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me the bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I set up as a pillar, shall be the God's house. And of all that you give me, I will sure give tenth to you. Stop there, please. Jacob was right in sensing the presence of the Lord right there. However, he was wrong in thinking that God was in the one place and nowhere else. Our God is omnipresent. It means God is everywhere at the same time. And you're thinking, that's not possible. Of course it's not possible. That's why he's God, and you're not. Shirley MacLaine, she is a guru, the head honcho of the New Age group. There was a movie, end of the movie, she's running around the beachside and she's screaming on top of her lungs. She's, I am a God, I am a God. And I was watching the last portion and said, no, you're not, no, you're not. People, especially in Hollywood, they think that they are practically their God because they have money and power and fame. That's why this world is such a chaos. You are not God. There's only one God. Don't forget it. Jacob's experience that night not only changed him, but also changed the name of the place where he slept, Bethel. In Hebrew word, El, E-L, is God. And Beth is a house. It means house of God. But Bethel would be eventually become a high place, notorious for the idolatrous sacrifice, according to Hosea 10:15. Setting up a pillar was an act of faith for Jacob. It is his way of dedicating himself to God. It is a wonderful thing that by faith, he turned a pillow to a pillar. It's a great thing. Asahel Nettleton, he was a powerful evangelist from 1800. And he was one of the preachers who spurred the Second Great Awakening in America. It's been said that when he preached, the people could feel the presence of God come into their town. Dr. Noah Porter, Farmington, Connecticut, wrote about him. He wrote, the state of the feeling in which at the time pervaded the town was interesting beyond description. There was no commotion, but a stillness in our very street, which forcibly impressed us with the conviction that in very deed, God was in this place. I wouldn't want nothing more in this place. God's presence has been known. And God is here. Not because we are special people, because He is special. We have a constant access to God's presence because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He bridged the heaven and earth, and by His death and resurrection, we are reconciled to God through His blood. We can say, surely the Lord is in this place. Even when we cannot sense His presence, and we know by faith He is near. It's easy for us to think that God is not with us when we go through the difficult time. You know what I'm talking about? When you go through a difficult time, you wonder if God is there. You wonder if He ever listened to your prayer. Seems like your prayer bounced up the ceiling and not going anywhere. He is there. If you are born again Christian, God is within you, the Holy Spirit. When you pray, when you don't know what to pray, how to pray, Holy Spirit intercede for us. And Jesus intercede from the right side of the throne. And God listen to you. And you may wonder, how can He listen to my prayer while He's listening to some other people's prayer from Burma? That's why He's God. Again, you're not. He can handle it. God's presence is especially close to us during the time of difficulty. He comes along the side to help us, and His presence carries us through every trial and trouble. Whether by feeling or by faith, don't doubt the nearness of God hovering over us, around us, and within you today. If you are going through a difficult time, never doubt God is near you. Only Christ could build a bridge to God with only two pieces of wood. Vertical beam, cross beam. Through cross, we have an access to God. Through cross, we have the redemption of God. If Jacob stopped there, it would have been great. But Jacob being Jacob, conniver, schemer, he couldn't stop there. So he offered money to God. Okay, let me put it in this term. Let's say you want something, so you're negotiating with Jeff Bezos, the owner of the CEO of the Amazon, who has over $100 billion. And you're thinking, okay, I have $20 here. I'll spot you $20. Would you do me a favor? Do you think that will impress Jeff Bezos? Magnified 100 billion gazillion times. God has unlimited wealth. And you're trying to negotiate with God? Do you know how absurd that is? Do you know how absurd that is for me to try to haggle the price with God? Again, our memory verse, Names chapter 1, please. I'll give you 20 minutes to find the names. Right after Micah. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Chapter 1. The Lord is good. A stronghold. You there yet? You're still turning. The dust is coming from your Bible. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows those who trust in Him. Are you one of those who trust in Him? Then you have a hope. God will walk with you. God will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Jacob set the term of his covenant with God. He's laying down the deal with the Lord instead of just humbly receiving what God has for him. Obviously, he's not completely submissive to God. God will teach him submission. You know, it's been said, it's better for us to fall upon the Lord, than fall upon the rock and submit to Him. And the rock fall upon you and crush you. Don't fight with Him. And Jacob is going to go through the school of hard knocks where the principal is the Laban. God is gracious enough not to call up the whole deal when He saw such a carnal response from Jacob. Listen, Is our God supposed to be impressed with the deal, with deals that we can offer to Him? He owns everything in the universe. Our money came from Him. He is the one who sustains our lives and gives breath each moment. So what do we have offered to Him that He would be so impressed to make a deal with us? Do you see how absurd this idea of willing and dealing with God is? How much better if we simply trust our faithful God with everything in our lives? I have one application for you. When we have a prayer request to God, to our God, we must come to Him with what? Humility and thanksgiving and request. Not scheming as we can fool Him. One more verse, please. Philippians chapter 4. Don't sit there without turning your Bible. Come on, turn your Bible. It's good for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Okay, you all there? Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and peace of God, that which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.